Justin Curry is the voice you know from the Scottish band Delamitri. And as that band is on indefinite hiatus, he's recorded a first ever solo album called What Is Love For? We are actually talking to him from his hometown in Glasgow. He begins with this performance of a classic Delamitri song, Always the Last to Know.
So you're in love with someone else, someone who burns within your soul. And it looks like I am the last to know. I hear you've never felt so alive, so much desire beyond control. And as usual, I am the last to know. The last to know how you're feeling. The last to know where you are. The last to know if you're happy now, or if he's treating you like I treated you, or if he's cruel. And I'll be the last to know. We spent summers out beyond the bay, and you said these are such perfect days, that if the bomb drops, baby, I wanna be the last to know. But now you're living up behind the hill, and though we share the same city and feel the same sun, when your winter comes, I'll be the last to know. Always the last to know how you're feeling. The last to know where you are. The last to know if you're happy now, or if he's pleading with you like I pleaded with you. If you go, don't let me be the last to know. Don't let me be the last to know. Creation's gone crazy, the TV's gone mad. Now you're the only sane thing that I have. Last to know how you're feeling. The last to know where you are. The last to know if you're happy now, or if he's cheating on you like I cheated on you. Whoa. And you were the last to know. You were the last to know. Don't let me be the last.
You certainly recognize that voice is our guest today, Justin Curry from Delamitri, the band who ended their major label excursion and kind of gone into hiatus back in 2002. And by all accounts, when that happened, everybody involved felt liberated. And Justin has now released a gorgeous album of kind of anti-love songs called What Is Love For? And we're going to get a chance to have Justin play live for us today. What was it like to end the band that you began, you and Ian began? I guess you were both in school when you began it, right?
Yeah. Well, we didn't really end the band as such. We just reached an impasse in that we'd been on a major label for so long, we became kind of institutionalized. And then suddenly when we were dropped by the label, we thought, well, you know, we can do it ever we want now. You know, we're not beholden to making a Delamitri album. So we decided not to make a Deli Mitri album. So in the interim, I thought, well, I'll make a solo album quickly, which took me much longer than I thought it would. And then Ian and I went on and wrote a kind of electronic album, which we're not really sure what to do with.
Now, what process did you go to end up doing this album? Because it's a lot of the sentiments on here might have been in Deli Mitri songs, mm-hmm. but when they were, they would have had two guitars and kind of a poppier flavor.
Yeah, they would. I mean, or a lot of these songs, a good half of the album, you wouldn't have been able to arrange that way, and certainly Ian and I wouldn't have countenanced making a whole album like this. So it was a kind of an opportunity for me to make an album with a theme running all the way through it, with very similar kinds of songs and similar kinds of arrangements. An opportunity, because Deli Mitri wouldn't have done that, because we were always into having a variety. We were into having ballads as well as rockers and all that sort of stuff. And there was always an element in Deli Mitri of... Because we earned an audience reasonably early in our so-called career, we were always aware of having to produce material that, some of which anyway, would satisfy that audience's expectations. I didn't have that with this record at all. I just did whatever I wanted to do. And as a result, I'm perfectly content with the possibility that the existing Deli Mitri audience won't really want it or like it. That wasn't a concern of mine. The only concern was being honest and just making a record that I wanted to listen to late at night after a bottle of wine.
Did you have any models for an album like that?
Well, I had things that I maybe aspire to is not the right word, but I had these these albums that I always admired that are unattainable, that nobody will ever beat, things like the first Curtis Mayfield solo record, Curtis, and the first John Lennon solo record, records made by guys that had been in groups for most of their 20s and then made these solo records that were suddenly very personal and actually relatively uncommercial, and that seemed to me to be a good thing. And to a certain extent, Tunnel of Love by Bruce Springsteen as well, which is kind of... I mean, I suppose maybe you could say that Nebraska was his first solo record, but in a way it's kind of his first solo record in that it's very extremely personal. The themes aren't as kind of broad and epic as things in his previous record. So those were... I've always been inspired by those records, and if those records hadn't existed, I don't think it would have made a solo record. I'm not sure how worthwhile it is making solo records if you just... do a slightly different version of what you did with your band. I think it's important to try and do something fairly different.
Well, Tunnel of Love isn't a bad model for this, although that was kind of a divorce album, and I'm not sure, is this a breakup album, or is this just how you see love?
Well, the Deli Mitri always had lots of breakup songs on the albums, but this is predominantly breakup songs or kind of cynical songs written from a perspective of coming out of love and not really knowing what that feeling is or what happened. I mean, it's easy to get into writing breakup songs along the lines of a lot of country songs, where there's a kind of nostalgia and sentiment. I wanted to avoid any of that. I wanted to make these breakup songs quite bitter and quite mean. Or in fact, very mean on the whole, because that's things that I felt, and I know that other people have felt. So I wanted to kind of connect with that rather than, I didn't want to sugar it up too much.
Hmm. Well, why don't you do one so people know what we're talking about?
Okay. Well, I'll do the title track, "What Is Love For."
What is love for? Does it wash good people ashore? Does it keep the wolf from the door? What is love for? What does love do? Does it make life worth going through? Keep you safe from the suicide crew?
What does love do? What is love for? Who does it help? A one-eyed king that leads everything straight into hell. What is love for? What does it change? Did Joan of Arc drag anyone back from history's flames? What does love do? Does it favor a fortunate few? Does it step on the hearts it can't use? What does it do? What does love make? 20 billion perfect mistakes, trying to figure what they can't take. What does love make? What is love for? Who does it help? A one-eyed king that leads everything straight into hell. And what is love for? What does it change? Did Joan of Arc drag anyone back from history's flames? What is love for? What is love for? What do I do with love I can't use for her anymore? Where do I put this beautiful suit another man wore? What is love for?
What is Love For? The title track of our guest Justin Curry's first solo album. Justin Curry from Delamitri has released What Is Love For? It's out in the U.S. on Ryko Disc. And that is the perfect song to play after what we were talking about, because that kind of questions the whole endeavor. Now you're from Glasgow, yeah. And obviously you're Scottish. Uh-huh. And forgive me for characterizing an entire country, but there is kind of this Scottish attitude that things are bad, life is hard, it's only going to get worse.
Well, nothing is so bad that it can't get worse. That's my motto.
Well, underlying that, though, is a kind of this unspoken romantic thing that maybe I'm wrong, mm-hmm. that it might get better. Does that kind of fit these songs?
Yeah, definitely. There's a cliche, which is really a truism about the Scottish character, and maybe the British character, I don't know, where we are deeply cynical and negative about everything, but underneath there is this eternal hope. Hope springs eternal, that the world will be a wonderful place at some point, and that life is full of meaning rather than utterly pitiless and pointless. And I quite like that, because it gives you, especially as a writer, it gives you enormous scope to smuggle in romantic ideas in very hard and bitter little packages, rather than just coming straight out and saying, you know, I want the world to be a better place, or love can save souls, you know. Rather than just saying that outright, there's something more interesting about disguising it. Anyway, it may be a cliche about the Scottish character, I don't know, but I would kind of ascribe to that, yeah. And it does rain a lot as well, which leads us to looking upon things, you know, moaning a lot from day to day. Things are bleak, it's raining, we can't see the sunshine, but inwardly knowing that, you know, there might be a really great summer around the corner.
Yeah, what's it like at Glasgow when the sun finally shines?
Well, people go kind of crazy. Even in winter, they go sort of crazy. I mean, the last couple of days here have been really bright and sunny, and people are kind of running around like, you know, nutcases, buying far too many Christmas presents and drinking far too much alcohol. But in summer, it's nuts. And people just throw their clothes off and go to the park with massive bottles of cider and stay in the park all night, you know, until they have to put their clothes back on because the police tell them to.
And of course, they're all sunburned after that. So.
As lobsters.
Justin Curry is our guest, and we actually are talking to him from Glasgow. Justin, what do you want to do next?
Well, I'll do an old one now, actually. Let's do I'll do Tale of This, actually.
Tell her not to go. I ain't holding on no more. Tell her something in my mind freezes up from time to time. Tell her not to cry. I just got scared, that's all. Tell her I'll be by her side. All she has to do is call. All she has to do is call. Tell her the chips are down. I drank too much and shouted it aloud. Tell her something in my heart needs her more than even clowns need the laughter of the crowd. Tell her what was wrong. I sometimes think too much but say nothing at all. Tell her from this high terrain I am ready now to fall. I am ready now to fall. Tell her not to go. I ain't holding on no more. Tell her nothing if not this. All I want to do is kiss her. Tell her something in my mind freezes up from time to time.
Tell her this, an older Delamitri tune is done by Justin Curry, and that may seem all the same to you if you know that voice, and he has got a new solo album called What Is Love For, and we're getting a chance to hear some of the tunes live today. So when you go out and do a show, do you stay with the album or do you mix it up?
I do most of the album, and I do about 50% old stuff, although I've chosen the Delamitri things fairly carefully. I don't do any of the rockers anymore, and I don't do any of the things that I co-wrote with Ian, because they tend to be rockier, and I feel that I'd be somehow betraying our partnership by doing those things on the road. So it's kind of more of a singer-songwritery feel. Delamitri always really avoided the singer-songwriter thing. We didn't bang on about the writing process, and we kind of saw ourselves as a sort of Thin Lizzy with lyrics, rather than something more earnest. But now I've made a solo record, I don't mind coming across as overly earnest and terribly worthy and all that kind of stuff.
Well, it's funny. You once cut an ID for us here in Philadelphia when you came by, and you said, hi, this is Justin Curry from the Scottish pop rock band Dalimitri.
Yeah.
And that really stuck out to me, because is it a, you know, is it a pop band? Is it a rock band? And
well, when we did our first, when we made our first major label album in, well, between 87 and 89, it came out in 89 on A&M, we thought it would be rather quaint to have on the back File Under Rock Pop, just because apparently that was a familiar label from records in the 60s and 70s, and at that time the idea of rock forward slash pop was so unhip and anathema to the, especially the English music press, that it rather amused us. And effectively, that's what we were. I mean, live, we were a rock and roll band, but we played a lot of pop songs, and a lot of the lyrics are quite poppy. So we never really wanted to pretend that we were anything other than that. I mean, sometimes, we would try and smuggle in themes and lyrical concerns that you wouldn't find on a Rembrandt's record, for example, I guess, if they're a rock pop group. I'm not sure if that'd be the right definition. But we didn't want to sell ourselves as anything other than what we appeared on the surface, which is melodies and guitars.
Mm. Now, what was going on in Glasgow when you formed? Was that around the time of, was Orange Juice an influence
on
you guys?
Absolutely. We formed in, well, I started the band in 1980, and along came Postcard and made Glasgow, for the first time ever, very cool, because Orange Juice were so deeply cool and at the time incredibly original and highly inspirational to lots of English and American bands. So without that, I'm not sure if there'd have been a second or third or fourth generation of bands out of Glasgow. I mean, I don't think you'd have had Franz Ferdinand, for example, if there hadn't been an Orange Juice, and you certainly wouldn't have had a Dalimitri, you wouldn't have had a Primal Scream. They were enormously influential, and there was never a band in the 60s or 70s that even approached their hipness and their attitudes. They were a very canny thing, with two fantastically talented songwriters in James Kirk and Edwin Collins. So they were an enormous thing.
Hmm. There's a couple other things I wanted to talk about that happened between 2002 and making this.
Yeah.
Some things you apparently there was a trip to Spain you went on that was appropriately end of an era hedonistic, uh-huh. and then you spent some time singing in a cover band.
Yeah, well, I mean, I took a brief holiday after we get dropped, and that was where I kind of listened to a lot of really middle of the road, really high quality middle of the road music, and I thought, you know, I'm in my late 30s now, and I'm going to be 40 by the time I put something out. I should be, you know, this is what I should be doing. I should be doing something that is essentially middle of the road. You know, I shouldn't be pretending that I'm a rock and roller anymore, you know. So that was kind of where the inspiration to make the solo record came from. But in the meantime, as I was writing things, there was no point in performing stuff solo because the album wasn't finished. I didn't quite know where it was going to head. So I just kind of asked various friends who were in bands, you know, if you need a singer, give me a gig. And I knew some people in a local R&B band called Button Up that just did covers of various 60s and 70s soul things. And they asked me to do it, and I did it. It was great fun, and the only gig I've ever done, probably ever will do, where people actually danced while I was singing.
So it's not like you learned things from that. It was just like a fun thing to
do. Well, I don't know. Did I? I'm not sure. Maybe I did, but I just really enjoyed it, and it gave me something to keep my voice in shape for. Otherwise, I would just sit about smoking and drinking beer, and not really keeping the voice in shape. You know.
Gotcha. Justin Curry is our guest, and he's got a new solo album, and we have time for one more. You want to do another one from the new one?
Yes, I've brought my friend Ken's harmonium, which is very squeaky and slightly out of tune, and I'm going to attempt to play something in that mess, so excuse the squeaks on the pedals.
Sometimes I love you, sometimes I hate you. And I know you struggle too. It's in your nature. 'Cause you and me were never meant to be together. But you took off your dress, and something in that mess got changed forever. Some days a breakthrough, some days a breakdown. When I fall out of love, you meet me on the way down. 'Cause you and me were never meant to be together. But you took off your dress, and something in that mess got changed forever. Forever. Stains and scratches written on the leather. And when the sun comes slanting in, I swear it's raining feathers. 'Cause I can't find myself among this stuff we've thrown together. 'Cause somewhere here a shirt of mine is twisted in the arms of your sweater. Sometimes I love you, and sometimes I hate you. And I know that you do too. It's in your nature. 'Cause you and me were never meant to be together. But you took off your dress, and something in that mess got changed forever. Forever.
Something in that mess played live on that, is a harmonium. Thank you so much for playing live, and thanks for
my
the
pleasure.
It's a real treat. Justin Curry, our guest today here on the World Cafe.